But one of the great things is Psalm 93. Let me read Psalm 93 for you. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. This psalm helps us understand the greatness of God above all else. The greatness of God above all else. Doesn't seem to be much that's talked about here. But it talks about how mighty God is. He's robed in majesty. He's mighty. He's armed with strength. The world is established firm and secure. God's throne was established long ago. From all eternity, it says. The psalm helps us understand the greatness of God above all. Now, we know a little bit more, I'm going to say, and it's very fresh in our minds, about the power of water. If you think about what happened in the hurricane that went through western North Carolina, it is just unbelievable how powerful water is. I've been reading some also about the floods that happened in Spain, where people got absolutely no notification that it was coming. Seems to be a fault of the government right now, because they knew hours in advance it was going to happen, and they did not share it with the people. But we know the incredible devastation that water can cause. I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. Chesapeake Bay is not the ocean, but it's large enough, and sometimes it has its own environment that causes great and powerful destruction. I can tell you that I've never seen a tornado, and I look for the day that I can see a tornado, and now many of you are wondering about the state of my mind today. I just would like to witness one and see one. I've seen what's called waterspouts. We don't call them tornadoes on the Chesapeake Bay. They're waterspouts. And it's kind of hard to tell the power that they have within them. I mean, because I've seen them, and in one way, when it's out on the water like that, a tornado out on the water, it looks incredibly fantastic. And fortunately, most of them burn out before they ever reach to land. But waves can cause great destruction. My first place that I lived in after I moved out of my parents' house was in a rented half of a house in what's called Willoughby Spit. Some of you might be familiar with Willoughby Spit. The mythology behind Willoughby Spit is that it was created by a hurricane. It's only about 3 or 4 blocks wide at the furthest point, and it goes out a couple of miles. It's actually, if you've ever been on Interstate 64 and traveled from Hampton to Tidewater or from Tidewater to Hampton, you go across Willoughby Spit without ever knowing it. It's a very thin piece of land. I loved it. I loved living there. It was a block off the beach on the bay side. I was able to get over to the beach with my cat, and we took walks on the beach. Yes, everybody else had their dog. I had my cat, And we walked on the beach. She was not on a leash. She was fine. I'd pick her up, walk back across the street to come back home. I loved living there. There was one condition that Deanne would marry me under, that I moved off the spit that was caused by hurricane to somewhere else. She said, "We're not going to live there. Because the theory is someday a hurricane is going to make that place completely disappear." Still there to this day. So maybe I should say to her now, we should have stayed there. But no, I had to move somewhere a little bit further inland. But water is powerful, is it not? It is incredible what water can do. Now, I want to share something with you that maybe you haven't really thought about. In the very beginning, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters before the first day of creation. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters before the first day of creation. Let me read for you Genesis 1. Verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Deepness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, when you move to verse 3, verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was night, and there was day." Before the first day of creation, Scripture says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, the deep waters, the powerful waters. It was emptiness. It was formless. It was there. This is one of the arguments for God did not create out of nothing. There was something there already. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters before the first day of creation. I remember in my Old Testament class when we studied this and went through all of Genesis. I went up and I asked the professor, I said, "Dr. Ballantyne, is there anywhere in Scripture that says God created water?" And he said, "No. There is a place where God separated the waters, but there is nowhere that it says God created waters." Now, let me help you understand this a little bit. These deep waters are a way to talk about chaos and disorder. Things were chaotic. Things were not ordered. Things were not in place. Things were not right. Okay? So when I talk about these chaotic waters, I talk about the incredible power that these waters have of destruction, of chaos. Look at pictures from Asheville, especially the Arts District. I remember right afterwards them talking to someone who had a business in the Arts District, a restaurant business. And they went down there the day after to see what they could salvage. And there was a concrete pad. There was nothing else left from their restaurant. Nothing. It was all gone. They were walking around trying to find just little pieces that they could have as souvenirs. I think about the pictures that I've seen of Chimney Rock. The town's gone. Waters can be great chaos. Waters can lead to great destruction. And in the very beginning, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over those waters of chaos while things were still in a disorder. So at creation, God puts all things in order, thereby showing power over them. At creation, God puts all things in order. Search through all of the religions that have a story about creation. And one of the things that is always central to all the stories is a God taking effect over chaos. A God putting chaos into order. Every religion that has a creation story has that kind of story. Our Bible has that kind of story. A God that comes in and sets things right. There was darkness, so let's bring light. There was waters that needed to be separated to bring land. Things were set in order. What's one of the things it says after Noah's Ark, the story? God set boundaries for the water that they shall never cross again. God set boundaries. Now, I don't know how to put that together with what happened in Western North Carolina. I don't know how to do that. But it says in Scripture that God set boundaries for the chaotic waters that never again may they cover the surface of the earth. Okay? So at creation, God showed the power and the energy and who God was. Now you may ask, well, this is great that you're preaching all this. What does this have to do with our world today? Because for the most part, waters are set at ease and they have boundaries. Remember, go back to the beginning. Our world is a world of chaos and disorder. Our world is a world of injustice and wrongs. Our world is a world where things happen that shouldn't happen. But God has power over it all. That's what this psalm has to do with today. If God can have power over the chaotic waters, God has power over everything else. There is nothing that has more power than God. Now, that doesn't, those of you that have been through the unanswered prayer book, you kind of know part of this. I don't understand why God allows Satan to do some of the things that Satan does. I don't understand that. If God has power, and God is a loving God, and God cares about us, and God is compassionate about us, why does God allow chaos to exist even? If God can set it all off to the side, why doesn't God do that? I've searched for decades for that answer. And I really don't think that when I get to heaven, I'll find the answer either. I'm not one of those people that when I get to heaven, I'll know everything and have every answer to every question I ever had. Because some things just don't matter. Like this one. You know the letter W? It looks like two V's put together. Why is it not called double V instead of W? I know some of you write it like W. I write it like double V. So I'm going to start calling it double V. The answer to that question just doesn't matter, does it? It just doesn't. I won't know everything once I get to heaven. That's the way I believe. And I partially believe that way because I love to study. I remember one time I had the opportunity to, during a vacation Bible school, they wanted me to sit down with the middle schoolers and talk to them about what I did as a pastor. So I was explaining to them about studying for Wednesday night and preparing and teaching scripture and studying for doing a sermon and whatnot. And one little kid looked at me and he said, "Like homework?" And I said, "Yes. Every day, and I love it." Every kid in that room turned it. There's not a single kid in that room that ever wants to be a pastor now. Because they found out I do homework every day of my life, in their opinion. I love to study. I love to hear people's stories. You can't tell me I'll know it all when I get there. God would take away something I love so much. But I know this. God has power over chaos. Amen? God has power over disorder. Amen? You're allowed to speak. I mean, God has that ability. Why God does not exercise that at certain moments, I don't know. And I'm not one who believes that God causes everything to happen. Because some of the things that happen in our world, I can't see how a God who loves us causes that to happen. Some of you might say I'm dancing on eggshells, but God allows some of those things to happen. God doesn't cause them. God doesn't cause chaos and disorder. The book of 1 Corinthians talks about a God that wants to see order within the church and wants to see things in unity and operating right and moving forward to advance the kingdom of God. In case you didn't know it, the Corinthian church was not a very good church. Paul's two letters to the Corinthians is trying to get them straight and explain to them how messed up they are as a church. And here's one of the ways that they were messed up, in case you're questioning that. They would have communion, and all the rich people got to come first. And if there was anything left over, then the poor people could come and get some. Think about a church that operates that way. Because the offering of Jesus Christ is for all people, not just for those who have money and who have status. At creation, God put all things in order, thereby showing power over them. So what's this psalm about? This psalm reminds us of God's mighty power and the ability to order chaos. The ability to put chaos in order instead of in disorder. So if you have concerns, I've had people that have talked to me in the past few weeks about concerns about how chaotic our country is, how chaotic the world is. God has the power to put all of that back in order. Now, I probably would lean on Romans 8:28 here. Romans 8:28 is often misquoted. I would encourage you to go look it up. I would encourage you to memorize it. It says, "All things work together for good." And there is where people stop quoting the verse. That's not what it says. All things work together for good for those who love God and for those who are called according to God's purposes. That's called a conditional promise. It's not an outright promise that God made. God said, if you will love me and follow me and understand the power that I have and the ability that I have, and if you will live the way that I ask you to live, all things will work together for good. God can bring something good out of a bad situation for people who love God and who are living in obedience to following God. There is no promise for every person on earth to get something good out of something bad. There is no promise in the Bible like that. So when you quote Romans 8:28, remember that it's a conditional promise. It says, if you do this, and if you do this, God will bring something good out of it. Romans 8:28. Memorize it. And then think about, what does it mean I need to do? That means I need to develop my love relationship with God. And it means I need to live the way God wants me to live, how God's calling me to live. And then God can bring something good out of something bad for me. Because God has power over chaos. God has power over disorder. Do you believe that? Is that something you actually believe? Do you believe that God has power over the chaos in our world? If I actually believe that, then I shouldn't be worried about tons of chaotic things that are happening. As long as I'm living for God the way God wants me to live. It's all conditional. It's all conditional. But do you believe that I've lived through some horrible things. And you have too. And you're still here. And God brought you through many of those things. Think about that. God brought you through them. So if I believe that God has power over chaos, I can march forward in the way that God wants me to walk. Amen? I can march forward and move forward in the way that God wants me to live if I believe, oh, there's too much chaos. I can't get that done. We shouldn't be able to say that as Christians. We should never say that as Christians. Okay? It's chaotic. Guess what? My God can hold back chaotic waters and set them right. That's how powerful the God is I serve. Is the God you serve that powerful? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we do let the worries of this world overwhelm us. Sometimes we just look at all these things happening and we're concerned that it's the end of this, the end of that, and it may be the end of society as I know it. It may be the end of life as I know it. But Lord, you have power over all these things. At the very beginning of creation, you set things in order. Thank you. Thank you for showing us the incredible power that you have. And Lord, if nothing else, you have power over death. Because for those of us who believe in you as our Lord and Savior, death is nothing more than a doorway that we walk through from one existence to another. You have power over death. Death does not have a sting over us anymore. It may hurt us. It may hurt us when we lose a loved one. But Lord, if that loved one believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, all they did was walk through a doorway from here to being in your presence fully. What an incredible power that is. So Lord, help us not to be fearful to walk forward into any place that you asked us to walk, into any plan, into any idea that you ask us to partake in, into any ministry. Help us to walk forward knowing that you are a God that sets things right and has power over destruction, chaos, and disorder. Lord, thank you. Thank you.